Hello, and welcome to What Would Jarek Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast. My name is Eric Sandifer.
I'm Chad Seaman, and we will be your hosts for this evening.
Co-hosty-hosts,
yes,
with the mosty-mosts.
As we delve into the literary works of the great R.A. Montgomery.
The genius.
And the Choose Your Own Adventure.
Great genius of our times.
Universe. So,
yes.
Welcome.
Welcome back, yes.
And we're glad that you have come to join us on this fine evening.
Yes. An auspicious occasion.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. Would you like some tea?
Hey, y'all. That lasted a lot longer than I thought I'd be able to keep that up.
Well, I thought we did pretty well. I think that we could really do it, that kind of podcast, Chad.
We nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Fact. Yeah.
As long as we don't look at each other, we're fine.
Ever.
We'll have to be in separate booths. Don't put those two together!
Oh, man, you guys.
Hey, so welcome back. Episode 11.
Shoot, yeah.
Right? We're like in the thick of it now, man.
Almost in the teens.
True. So close.
The one teens.
The one teens? Is that a thing?
It should be.
The one teen things?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Well, we've got a really good book, or at least we hope it will be good.
I'm excited about it. You know, we saw this one a long time ago.
We did. Didn't we think about it for the first episode?
We've considered it for episode 1,
I'm pretty sure it's been around since the inception of this whole idea.
Yeah. But, so you all know kind of how this works, how we roll. You know, I grew up reading these books as a young lad in Western Kansas, and they were a part of, you know, my adulthood or youth, I guess, and now adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric, you know, you've had such an interesting kind of experience with these books through your few short years of life.
You know, actually, Chad, it's not that interesting.
Oh, really?
No, I just read these books to pass the time while I worked in the cornflake factory.
Which cornflake factory?
Well, Kellogg's. I mean,
you
what?
Worked for Kellogg's?
Yeah.
Cornflakes?
I sorted cornflakes. You know, kind of like
you
the.
Sorted them?
For sure.
Like,
it's kind of like
the
good egg and the bad egg in the Willy Wonka movie.
Okay.
So, like, I was the educated egg-decator, I think is what it was called. That was pretty much me, but for cornflakes.
Educated educator?
Educated egg-decator.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Dictator?
Egg dictator?
Egg dictator?
Yeah.
No.
So you were just passing the time at work?
Seriously. Yeah, no. They
like
were really great. Well, you know, it's like I had
one flake,
13
flake.
Books in one book.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah.
But
no,
don't worry, folks. I was very busy counting cornflakes and did not really retain these books very well. So these are all really fresh in my mind here. The cornflakes, however, stayed forever. I'll never be rid of those memories. So, thanks for bringing that up, Chad. Really appreciate your pal.
Sorry about that. You guys know how we do.
It's true. They all know how we do. And if you don't know how we do, go back and check out how we do. Because today, what we're going to do is read Choose Your Own Adventure number 2, Journey Under the Sea.
Wow!
I know. I'm really excited to go under the sea.
No, I mean, this is like R.E. Montgomery's second work.
That's true. We're getting like he's kind of maybe just figuring out exactly what he's doing. This is young universe building for R.A. Montgomery.
Not unlike ourselves.
True. Ooh, great parallel, Chad.
Thanks.
Also, I'm feeling there might be a song that's obvious that will need to come up later, but we'll get there. It's fine. We don't need to rush it. There was a moment about 10 seconds ago where I almost broke into it, but it's fine. We went other places and that's perfect. So we'll save that one for later. And you all don't have any clue what song I'm thinking of either. It's not obvious at all.
I don't.
No, Chad has no clue.
None.
Hey, so folks, before we run too long, I'm just going to say, plug it. If you love us, plug it. And we really appreciate
it. Tell your friends.
Tell all your friends. Because we know you have friends.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get
We're going to dive right in. So, Chad and I will come together to get through the sea journey as Jarek. Wow.
Yeah, and we're kind of right out the gate here.
I mean, he's so succinct in these first books, Chad.
He really is. He doesn't...
We just dove right in.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you know...
They might not. Let's catch the listeners up.
All right.
Okay, so here, literally not a ton of information. We're a deep sea explorer.
Yep.
Shocking, I know. And we are searching for the lost city of Atlantis.
Do you know what this means, Chad?
No.
This means that this is kind of a part one story.
Ooh. What's part two?
Part two is the book that we have.
Wait, what? Oh! Right!
Yes, yeah, see, now the pieces are coming together.
Okay, sidebar. Okay, so my birthday was not that long ago, and my good buddy here, Eric, got me a book entitled Return to Atlantis.
I was super excited because when I found it, I was like, OMG, that means there's a first part. Maybe we can do a two-parter. I don't think either of us realized that this was the first part to that story.
I feel like there is another book with Atlantis in the title. But
is
maybe,
there really?
I don't know.
Oh. Because when you said you were reading, like, we're searching for Atlantis, I was like, oh, man. Because I thought that that was the connection.
Well, maybe. Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, I got really excited, folks.
Whoa. Okay. But anyway, so we're a deep sea explorer. We're searching for Atlantis.
Cool.
We're aboard a vessel called the Seeker, which is like a diving vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And the research vessel on the ocean surface is called the Murray.
Nice.
And so we dive down in the Seeker, and we land on a ledge on the ocean floor. And then we kind of come to our first decision. So here's our options. We're in the Seeker on this ledge of a canyon where we believe the lost city of Atlantis to be.
Ish.
As far as we know.
Right.
So we could, one, disconnect. We're cabled to the Murray right now.
Mm-hmm.
We could disconnect from the Murray, dive into the canyon, maybe find Atlantis.
Check it out. Mm.
Or we also have a specially designed experimental diving suit specifically designed to handle the pressure at this kind of depth underwater.
Okay.
It's got all kinds of tricks. It's got microprocessors. It's got a laser communicator.
Whoa.
And so we can put on our suit and explore the ledge where the Seeker has come to rest.
Mm-hmm. Or dive down with it.
Or cut loose and dive down into the canyon. So if you decide to explore the ledge where the Seeker has come to rest, turn to page 6. If you decide to cut loose from the Murray and dive with the Seeker into the canyon in the ocean floor, turn to page 4. Remember, this is a quote from the text. Remember, this is a dangerous world, an unknown world.
Oh my gosh.
End quote.
That immediately makes me nervous to get out of the Seeker.
Sure.
Even if it is a super awesome diving suit. However, I also feel like if there were a time to get out and check things out, we're at the right spot and the right pressure to use the suit and check it out.
Also true. Like, if there was a modicum of safety that we have,
right,
it would be in this spot.
Right.
Not in the canyon.
Definitely not in the canyon. Oh, I mean, it's probably not safe anywhere, you know.
Yeah, that's also...
This is a dangerous unknown world.
Yeah, dangerous world. An unknown world.
Just gives me shivers.
Shivers me timbers.
Shiver me timbers. We're under the sea, me hearty. Ooh, there'll be ghost pirates ahead. Just kidding. I don't think that's true. I think that we
entirely
should...
I'm not ruling out ghost pirates.
No? Okay. Well, I mean, stranger things have happened, I guess. I think that we should get in our suit and check out the
ledge.
You
want to explore the ledge?
I kind of do, yeah.
I feel like now's a good time to explore the ledge.
I feel like it's a good opportunity.
I would like to dive into the canyon.
Definitely intrigued by the canyon.
Mainly because we feel like Atlantis is down there.
Maybe we'll get the best of both worlds, and while we're checking out the ledge, we'll get knocked or pulled down into the canyon.
Yeah. I'm with you. No, I think I'm with you. I think that we should put on the suit, test it out. Mm-hmm. I'd rather test it out here and know that it does or does not work.
Totally. It is experimental.
It is experimental. So, let's turn to page six.
Let's go.
Let's turn to page six. We're gonna explore the ledge where the seeker has come to rest.
Fantastic.
Release the Kraken! Bum, bum, boo, doom, bum, bum, oh my gosh, you guys.
Wow.
This took a real turn for the worse.
I know, like, the first thing that went through my head, okay, guys, essentially, we kind of are being attacked by a giant squid-like creature.
The Kraken.
We'll just call it the Kraken. and it has the first thing it does is grab the seeker. And it's like in its grasp, and we're pretty sure that it's going to destroy it.
Pretty sure.
So my first thought was, I'm so glad we got out of that. And then I thought, I bet if we had chosen to stay in it, something else would have happened.
Like if we would have been like, and we dive into the ocean and narrowly missed the grips of a giant squid. We would have maybe
never seen it. Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't help us with the predicament that we're in.
We get out, you know, our suit is, it's kind of a tight fit.
It's kind of tight.
It's also tight. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's tight.
It's so tight.
Tight.
But it's also tight.
It's also tight. Yeah. And we get out and we start exploring the ocean floor. We turn back, like Eric said, we see this giant squid. Tentacles wrapped around the seeker like it's a toy. And we have a spear gun, but we immediately know that the spear gun is going to be completely useless.
Shit.
And we stay, like, hidden behind this rock formation with a lot of the other fish.
Like, we're hiding with the fishes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We might be sleeping with the fishes.
We might very shortly here, yeah.
If we're not careful. So our options are to stay hidden behind this rock with the fishes close to the seeker. Or to try to escape. In hopes that the rescuers will see us.
Okay, Chad, here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that if we stay hidden behind this rock near the seeker, we could be grabbed by a tentacle and die.
See, now here's my thought. I think we're more likely to be attacked if we run.
That's also true. Part B of my thought was, I think that if we try to get away and swim, he'll see us and we'll be wrapped in a giant tentacle.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is you think that we might have a better chance if we just stay chill.
I think that we might have a better chance at surviving this scenario.
Yeah.
Like, the fish are back there. Right. You know, like, they know what's up.
That's
They've seen this guy.
That might be true.
Right? Like, yep. And I think we should take our cues from, you know, Nemo.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Wait. And I think
Nemo fought the monster. You understand that? Like, he jabbed it in the eye with a harpoon.
Captain Nemo. Finding Nemo. Oh! Like the clownfish.
Okay. Yeah, no. I was definitely on, like, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea level, fighting the giant squid sort of a deal.
Yeah, you're very much,
okay,
like, white whale. And okay. I'm very much like, keep on swimming, keep on swimming.
It's just keep swimming, Chad.
Yeah, whatever.
Get it right.
What's the address?
What?
246 Wallaby Way, Sydney. Or something like that.
I have not. Oh my god. Oh my god. I did not know at all where you're going with that. I haven't seen that movie in such a long time.
Well, it's about time you saw it again. So anyway, I think that we should stay. I think that we should stay.
Stay behind the boulder?
And hide behind the boulder. And then we at least know what happens to our boat.
That's true.
Push comes to shove. If our boat, like, survives this, like, I think we should get back on it.
Chad, I just can't, like, I can't stop thinking about some lyrics from a song, which also happens to be titled The Seeker.
Oh, okay.
They call me the seeker. I've been searching low and high. They call me the seeker. Oh, no, wait. How does it go?
I have no idea. I haven't heard the song.
Okay. They call me the seeker. I've been searching low and high. Mm-hmm. I won't get to get what I'm after till the day I die.
What?
See, that's a little foreboding, and it's been in the back of my head this whole time. I hope it doesn't spell the truth of our journey.
So we have to die to find Atlantis?
Maybe. Or to find the truth.
To find the truth?
Yeah.
Well, that could be foreshadowing.
It could be, but I think that we should stay behind the rock.
You still think we should stay?
I'm with you on this one.
Okay, yeah, I think we should stay behind the rock. Yeah. I'm gonna turn the book back over to you.
Okay. Chad, this is so exhilarating.
It's like a choice-heavy book.
This is wonderful. Okay, so the giant squid is messing with the seeker, and it finally kind of grows tired of playing with its toy and leaves with a squirt of water.
Okay.
And now we're, like, going to examine the seeker. It turns out the airlock is jammed shut, so we can't get in. But the crew up on the Murray, however, suspected trouble when we didn't respond to, like, some radio communication. So they sent an escape platform down. They've lowered it down to us. And we've radioed them to start bringing us up. But to avoid the deadly bends, as it's called.
Yeah, the bends.
The rapid expansion of nitrogen bubbles in your blood, obviously.
Yep.
They're going to have to bring us up super slowly. The pressure and everything.
Sure.
Unfortunately, just as the platform begins to move slowly upward, the squid suddenly reappears and is headed directly at us. So, our decision is to try and fight the squid with our spear, hoping to scare it off. Our spear gun, pardon me, by turning to page 17. Or, if we want to signal the Murray to pull us up at top speed, knowing that we could possibly die from the bends, turn to page 19. So we have possible death by squid, possible death by exploding blood and nitrogen bubbles and shit.
I like my chances with the squid.
Bring it on. Yeah. I'm up for an epic squid battle,
because
man. This is what I wanted.
Here's my reasoning.
Okay.
Immediately when you said they were going to start pulling us up, I was like, the end, you know? And they pull us up, and our boat's destroyed, and we go
mission
home.
Over.
The
yeah.
end. Mission over.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm, like, totally not down for that.
No.
And I feel like even if they pull us up super fast, it's still, we might live, but the end.
Definitely.
Like, either way, like, we die from the bends, the end, or our boat's destroyed, like, the end.
Right.
Right.
So you're thinking either way we're just going to die?
No, I think we have our harpoon. We might have a chance at fending off the squid.
Okay.
Like, with the squid, I could give us, like, a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Of, like, surviving this to make another choice.
You're going to give us a 50-50 chance with one spear gun versus a squid.
Yep.
A giant squid.
Yep.
I think those odds are a bit generous, but I'm 1,000% down to try.
There's like a 90-10% chance that we live if we, like, try to go upstairs.
Chad, you know a 90-10% chance doesn't mean anything. That doesn't even make any sense.
You have a 10% chance of living and a 90% chance of dying.
Oh, they're separate.
A 90.
That was it. I know, 10. But you said them so quickly together that I was just trying to poke fun at you. 90-10. There's a 90-10% chance. 90-10.
90.
Okay, well, hey, I think we've decided what we're going to do.
I think, yeah, I know.
Let us
fight this
battle
squid.
It out with this.
Ursula's going to get it.
All right, folks.
I thought we were dead.
Chad gave up.
We're not.
Far too soon. Far too soon.
We're not dead. I thought we were dead for sure.
Well, I mean, I feel like in a later book, that would have for sure been an ending.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this doesn't seem like the normal sort of...
We're in some real tricks.
I mean, RA has just got so many decisions in this book, and it's just splendid.
I love it.
Okay, so we're going to attack the squid.
Uh-huh.
Two 20-foot tentacles with their pulsing suction cups come out and try to grab us, but we leap off of the platform and dive down, and we shoot two of our spears into the squid's eyes, but he keeps coming. And one of the tentacles wraps around her suit and breaks part of her helmet.
And this is where I'm like, we did.
Right.
End of story.
Yeah, water's beginning to trickle
this is
in.
Where I gave up.
We signaled them a ray to haul us up.
Yeah.
And we must have hit the squid because it floats away, writhing and very angry. And then we black out.
And I'm like, the end of the book.
Done for. But we wake up on the deck of the Marais and are quickly rushed to the decompression chambers to ward off the bends.
The bends.
And several days later, we're through the worst part of it and we're starting to wonder about diving into the abyss again. Can we do it? Do we have the nerve? If we decide to quit, we turn to page 31. And if we decide to return to the deep, turn to page 32.
Cherik is no quitter.
I know, but I almost want to like see if the quitting actually leads to an ending. Like, would it be that obvious?
Yeah.
Well, who's gonna pick to quit? Like,
quitters.
Oh. That's ridiculous, Chad. Nobody reading this book is gonna be like, yeah, I'm just gonna quit. RA, I love you, but this decision doesn't really make any sense.
I mean, like, I want to go back down there.
For sure, yeah. Like, we had a fun encounter with the squid, but there's so much more to be seen. We haven't discovered Atlantis.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
But we do know that there are giant sea creatures down there, so there's a good chance Atlantis is real.
There is a... I want to go back.
We're going back. We're going to page 32.
I know we didn't talk a whole lot about this one, but I don't...
Well, it's a very simple choice. So let's just go.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
all right.
Hit us.
Folks, we're moving on. Well, we made the right choice, I think.
I think so.
We can't resist the adventure beneath the sea, folks. We just couldn't resist. So we go down again after several weeks, and the seeker's been repaired. We bring the seeker to rest by the Great Canyon in the ocean bottom, just like before. And we venture out in there in our diving suit. Bravely. And very, very masculinely, for some reason. And there's no squid there, so we feel quite safe. And then we round a large rock formation and discover the wreck of an ancient Greek ship. And we're like, oh, this is strange. How did it get here? And how is it so intact, so far below the surface? Was it visiting Atlantis? I don't know. So we take some pictures, we make some notes, and then we have to decide to go aboard the Greek ship and turn to page 47, or return to the surface to report our findings by turning to page 48. Yeah, like, oh god, it just sounds so terrible.
No.
It sounds like paperwork and awfulness.
These seem like easy choices. Like
they do, but maybe this one will lead to our death. We're so excited to go aboard
the ship.
Maybe these
choices aren't as nuanced as we're used to
maybe.
In the later books.
I mean, this is definitely early RA. We did talk about that.
Yeah.
These choices are coming rapidly fast.
Oh, for sure. We're like normally, I know you guys don't know, like normally read like 5-6 pages or something like that.
Yeah, at least between
and
3
like,
to 5.
And like we get a choice, you know, but like this is like
this
one,
is
page,
one page,
two page,
yeah.
One, and then choice,
very
choice,
simple
choice,
choices,
choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like.
But that's kind of fun though, because there's a lot of different ways that this book could lead. Like
many,
so
many,
many
different ways.
So many ways.
But I want to explore this Greek
ship. Let's do it. Let's go into the Greek
ship.
Like,
I'm not going back upstairs to.
For sure not.
Like, report this to Captain Lame Sauce on the deck of the meringue.
Meringue?
Yeah.
I want some meringue.
I could go for a good piece of pie right now.
Dang.
That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Dang, meringue.
No, Greek ship.
All right, let's do it.
Let's see what Hercules has to hide.
Let's Greek ship it up. I'll give it back to you, Chad.
All right.
Here we go. Guys, I have the most excited, tingly feelings right
like
now.
Like, this got real, real,
oh my
real
god.
Fast.
I feel like we're gonna... Oh my god, I can't... Okay, Chad, catch him up.
Okay, literally, I read 2 paragraphs.
Oh my god.
They were the best 2 paragraphs I've ever read.
Ah!
Okay, we go aboard the Greek ship. We kind of explore about, and we find a small room in the back of the ship.
Mm.
In that room is a table. On that table is a golden box.
Oh, beautiful box.
And we open the box, and inside that box is a piece of a map.
Perfectly preserved.
Of course. And the map does not show Atlantis. So just everybody get that out of your
head.
Right now, Atlantis, not on this map. What is on this map is it shows that the ship was searching for an access point to a shaft that leads to the center of the Earth. And we take this map and we go back to the Seeker. We kind of use our smarts to kind of interpret their map with our like modern technology, and we find the shaft. We find the access point.
Which is over 100 meters in diameter?
The shaft is 100 meters in diameter. Feet.
100 feet. Okay, sorry.
In diameter. And our sonar readings say that the shaft has no bottom.
Okay, I have two questions.
First off, here's the choice. If you decide to descend into the shaft, turn to page 63. If you decide to pussy out and go back up to the surface, they didn't say that. It says, as you've decided, it is time to go back up to the surface, turn to page 66.
Okay, two questions.
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, why wasn't this book titled Journey to the Center of the Earth?
I don't know.
Second question, how in the world were these Greek mofos going to get to the shaft under the ocean floor?
Hey.
In a boat?
I don't know. Okay, second question. Maybe they thought they would just like swim?
Swim under the ocean into a hole and keep going.
Yeah. They could tie rocks to their feet.
Oh, so what you're saying is they thought that they could drown.
Not if they held their breath.
Chad, you're going... The diving suit, the pressure, the bends.
It's like ancient Greece. They don't know about all this.
Okay, but... all right.
The deepest sea they've seen is the Mediterranean, which is not that deep.
I guess that's true. All right. Well, maybe I'm thinking too much into this, but we're obviously going to go down
into... They could have had a plan. Maybe the Greek gods were on their side.
Zeus? No, that would have been Poseidon.
Poseidon, for
definitely
sure.
Definitely Poseidon. Well, hope he's on our side.
That's true, because you want to descend into this shaft.
Do you want to go back up to the ship?
No.
No! God!
Definitely not.
No, we're not going up to the ship. There's a 100-foot... chasm that has no bottom.
Wide shaft. Like, plenty wide enough for us to sail our ship into. Plenty wide enough.
The Seeker?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And you know what? I'm not here to give up.
Cherik's not a quitter. You said so yourself.
No, we're not a quitter.
No, we're not. So you know what?
We're a daring explorer.
We're going to go into this hole.
It's not the first time we've been down a shaft. I'm just saying. No, because in the Abominable Snowman, we went down the shaft to find Shangri-La.
Did we went down a shaft? I thought it was like a hallway in a
mountain. It was like a tunnel. It was like a thing that went straight down into the mountain.
Oh, maybe you're right.
I am.
That Yeti took us. Oh, wow, okay. I see.
We've established that my memory is...
My name's Chad, and I remember everything. Ask Cherik. Yes, I remember all the episodes to the T. Yes, yes. Eric doesn't remember anything.
I really walked into that one. Okay, now we're gonna turn to page 63.
We're gonna do it.
Okay.
It's happening. Okay. All right. Well, this got way weirder and trippier than I thought it was going to.
Okay, like I'm gonna try to summarize this without quoting, but like...
It's gonna be hard.
It's gonna be so hard. Yeah. Like, I kind of want to just read this to the people.
You maybe just like leave out every other word.
Every other word. Why go? Who believe? Thee of earth. You, the column.
Oh.
Dive.
You follow this?
No water, just heavy. That like...
Okay, let me interpret. So we're going down this big hole, right?
Yeah.
And it's water at first, but then it turns into this like gas and fog that we're still kind of like floating through, apparently.
Yeah, uh-huh. And we pass by layers of rock and sand like you would expect.
Definitely.
And suddenly we're in this like gooey, like liquid-y think, like I picture kind of syrup-like liquid.
Yeah, syrup's good.
That totally like jams up our propellers. The engine's stopped. And we're like pulled through this by like some sort of like magnetic force.
Or gravitational pull or something.
And we burst through this membrane. And here's where it gets weird. Like, that's not weird enough. Here's where it gets weird. We enter an area of giant atoms.
Atoms. Right.
Electrons whirl around us at high speeds, but we're able to like maneuver and dodge around them.
The Seeker is expert.
And they're all revolving around a small mass, which we know to be the nucleus.
Of course, it's the nucleus.
And we're able to like not get hit by all these swirling electrons around this nucleus. Yeah, we're just amazed by...
I mean, it's an awesome place.
But, so our choice, and this is kind of the third one of these, if you continue on this trip to the center of the Earth, turn to page 87. If you try to turn back, turn to page 88.
I don't like the phrasing of that second question. If you try to turn back, first of all, I feel like we're on this journey. Of course we want to get to the center of the Earth. That's where we're going, right?
Well, it's not where we started to. That wasn't our original mission, but it is. It is now.
It is now. I kind of felt like that this was the center.
But now I kind of feel like it's not.
Well, I know. Well, I mean, the way that we're going on, but I definitely thought that the whole atom and nucleus thing, you know, the nucleus is the center and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know.
What if Atlantis is in, like, the nucleus? Like maybe we haven't completely abandoned Atlantis altogether.
See, that's been in the back of my head, man.
Like, everybody's thought, like, Atlantis is, like, this very, like, little mermaid town.
No, it's the center of the Earth.
But it's really, like, this city in the center of the Earth under the sea.
Yeah. It's kind of brilliant, really.
It is kind of brilliant.
We gotta go check it out.
I think we have to go. Right?
There's no turning back, man.
I am a little concerned that this is the third chance he's given us to, like, turn around. It's like, are you sure? Are you sure?
As far as I'm concerned, we got nothing to lose. We got two respawns left. We gotta check this out.
Okay. No, I'll give the book back to you then.
All right. We're going on.
We're gonna go forward. We're going to go to the nucleus.
We're going to page 87 this.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, I'm so into it. Oh, my gosh, guys.
We were so right.
Chad nailed it. He spoke the truth. Oh, so we're going on. The electrons are whirring about us, right? And we get to a spot where the instruments in the Seeker stop. The clock stops. The motor stops. Our heart stops, Chad. But we're still alive.
Yeah.
We're still alive. And our body seems more aware of its senses than ever before. And we're suddenly aware that we're not the only ones in the Seeker. And what do we turn around to see?
What do you see?
Three freaking Atlanteans.
Atlanteans. Yeah.
And the Seeker has just become a thought. And that the people... All right. So, like, it's kind of confusing, folks.
This gets really, so, like, sci-fi weird. So try to follow.
So we feel, this is what the book says, we feel that the Seeker has become just a thought, and that the people from Atlantis have entered our mind. And when we try to enter their minds, they tell us, I guess through our minds, that we haven't journeyed far enough to become a thought traveler. So... our question is, do we want to turn back, or do we want to go forward and become a thought time space traveler? I mean, we're already a time traveling warlock.
We are already a time traveling warlock. They have no idea.
Or maybe this is the origins? The prequel.
Because this is like book two. where we gain this,
where
like,
we gain the time traveling warlock powers from the Atlanteans. Dude. That's fantastic.
Okay, it's quite I think the choice here is fairly obvious.
Yeah, we're definitely turning to page 95.
I want to become a thought traveling, time traveling warlock Atlantean warrior.
I mean, first we were just the time traveling warlock. Now we're a legitimate time traveling warlock.
Yeah.
Or hopefully we will be.
Hopefully we'll be a thought traveling warlock, which would explain a lot. That'd be like a very like quantum leap.
Because I see where you're going.
Like thought traveling is very different than time traveling. Other bodies in different times.
That's maybe also how we know what happens in different possible endings of our life.
Mm-hmm. Each leap could be the leap home.
Crazy.
Do you know about quantum leap?
Nope.
Somebody out there does, and they're going to love it.
Yep, that one, I didn't pick up that reference. Sorry, pal.
Go. It's on Netflix. Go watch Quantum Leap. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing.
Good and show. There's a plug for Quantum Leap. Now we'll continue on our podcast.
Called What Would Cherik Do?
What Would Cherik Do? And Cherik would turn to page 95 to continue on this journey.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that.
I don't know.
Folks, it just keeps getting more and more and more ridiculous.
Like,
this is fantastic.
I'm just holding my hands against my face and I can't even.
I mean, how far can we choose not to turn back and like, what will we be able to accomplish, Chad?
I can't even.
So, here's what happened. We, of course, want to be a thought traveler. And the Atlanteans tell us that all things are the same, past, present, and future. We just need to really concentrate and put ourselves where we wish to be. And we do that, and amazingly, we whisk ourselves back to the day we were born, into our first deep-sea dive, and all through our life. And then we try to go into the future, but we meet a blank wall, and we're like, hey, yo, Atlanteans, why can't we see the future? And they say, be patient, all in good time. And then, suddenly, we're whirled through time into the outer reaches of the universe, where we can actually feel light going through us. We cast no shadow, and a sense of peace fills us. If we decide to drop out of thought travel and return to Earth life, turn to page 111. If not, turn to page 110.
Okay. This is tough. Like, this is getting super real.
It's getting real, and I'm wondering, like, how far can we go until we just obliterate ourselves?
One. Here's my first thought. We could not see our future because there is no future to be seen.
That's terrifying.
Because we die.
Okay.
Here and now.
Okay. By either of these choices?
Maybe by, I feel like, staying in the thought travel.
So you think now we've reached a point where maybe we should leave?
Potentially, I'm not saying that we should.
Okay, okay,
I'm just saying,
okay.
Like, this maybe could be a warning.
Okay.
I am super intrigued.
I mean, I kind of just want to see where all this leads to.
You thought of a song lyric earlier. I've also thought of a song lyric.
Wonderful.
That could help.
Oh, excellent.
And I looked it up just so we could get it correct.
Oh, why? Because I fumbled mine? Thanks,
No, just because I didn't want to fumble this one. I knew it was super relevant.
Oh, heard. Okay. Well, hit us with it.
All right, here it is. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake.
Oh, no.
Just look at the world around you right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things surround you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Take it from me.
Up on the shore, they work all day.
All day long.
Out in the sun, they slave away.
Baking away too.
While then we devoting full time to floating.
Under the sea. Okay, well... You really had me going there, though. I was like, oh, man, what's Chad got?
But it is
those first lyrics were actually really kind of, they kind of hit me.
They were kind of, I mean, it's kind of like...
Read those first four lines again.
Okay. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake.
I feel like we're kind of in somebody else's lake
right now. For sure. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake.
Well, we're up there right now.
Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things surround you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea.
Under the sea. Wow. That actually might have changed my opinion. I was really okay with hanging out and kind of keep going.
I am also intrigued from a, like, mystic, scientific, like, nobody's really been out here. From a scientific research point of view, like, I feel like we would want to know, like, what happens if we keep going.
Definitely.
And, like, I'm thinking of Jodie Foster in Contact.
Okay.
Right, where it got kind of hairy, but she was like, no, we have to keep going. And she finds this, like, amazing time travel, like, Stargate wormhole and, like, meets this other alien race, right, and comes back and nobody believes her. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, if you haven't seen Contact.
I definitely haven't.
Just ruined the whole movie.
Yep, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I could have stopped you, but I didn't. It also
came out in, like, 1991.
Well, some of us were born that year, Chad. The moment that I keep thinking of in my mind is, not surprisingly, from Indy 4. At the end, which is also a spoiler, when the main evil lady is, like, trying to gain all the knowledge from the aliens. And she's like, no, there's too much! And her eyes burst into flame, and then she, like, explodes from all the shit that she couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. Feel like maybe that could possibly happen. Like, we might be overwhelmed by continuing on.
Right. Or we could, like, transcend, like, in Stargate SG-1, we could, like, ascend into a different form of existence.
Okay. Maybe become an Atlantean.
Yep.
I kind of want to keep going.
I think there's a high probability that we die if we keep going. Okay. I'm not going to deny this fact.
I feel much more positive about it.
But I want to see what happens. And if we die, so be it.
So be it.
We'll come back and take the other.
It's worth it for science, man.
For science.
She blinded me with science.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to call.
We're going to go.
We're going on to one.
I love this book.
11.
I
love this book. I mean, this has been wonderful. So wonderful. All right. So that was 25 seconds, folks. 25 seconds. Count them. I read 25 words, too. So we reached as far as we could go.
Yeah,
and
we become a thought traveler.
Our friends, the Atlanteans.
The Atlanteans, I assume.
Tell us that we can return to the Earth if we really want to. And we consider it carefully. You know, like, we really mull it over.
For, like, four words.
For four words. And decide that because of our amazing thought traveling abilities, we should probably stay where we are. And so we decide to stay forever. The end.
The end. Well,
now we know.
Hey, like, I wanted to know what happened. We both did,
and we stayed.
And we know. That's exactly
what happened. We stayed, and then we stayed forever.
And we're thought travelers. We become Atlanteans.
It's kind of like Shangri-La, a little bit.
A little Shangri-La-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll jump back to 95.
We may or may not still be in Shangri-La.
Right. Is this just like a different version of Shangri-La?
It's a little unresolved question if we ever really escaped.
I still don't think we did, man. I think it's all illusion.
I think we might have been acting as Yeti Cherik.
Yeti Cherik.
This entire podcast.
Yeti Cherik. The entire series run after episode 2, man.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my god, is this all just a dream?
There's no book called Return to Shangri-La.
It's because you don't ever leave! Okay, we're gonna go back to 95. We're
gonna go back. Let's go back and then let's see what happens if we say, we're gonna leave. What? That's, we're going back. We've had our fun. We have to report our findings to the corporate stooges. We say the seaweed is not always greener in somebody else's lake.
All right. Well, we are now page 110, and I will hand it over to my buddy Chad.
Well,
Chad, catch us up.
Yeah, okay, so 1,000 years of thought time travel have passed.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Nothing to us. And we're called into the main thinking room, and they're like, hey, good job, sir. Like, yeah, you really
thought for those 1,000 years.
You really nailed it. Like, kudos.
Oh, here, do you want some kudos?
And they're like, if you want to go back to the human world, like, you totes can. Like, whenevs.
And so we say, yeah.
We're like, you know what?
We'll go check it out.
It's been 1,000 years. Yeah, sure. We'll go back to the human world, check it out, see what's his happening.
And what's happening, Chad?
Well, let me tell you, not a whole hell of a lot.
Seems that possibly like nuclear winter occurred. Something.
All the big cities, New York, London, Paris, Shangri-La, they're all grown over with vegetation.
Not Shangri-La 2, it can't be true.
They're all grown over with vegetation. There's no signs of life. The roads are barely visible. But outside of the cities, you notice these, like, small settlements. And they don't even have, like, smokestacks or anything. And there are few roads and no cars. And the people live a simple life, providing themselves with food, shelter, and clothing. And we decide to join them. We decide that seems pretty damn nice.
You know, after 1,000 years of thought traveling, chilling out with some humans sounds pretty great.
And, you know, just the basic necessities.
Right. Living off the land.
And the end.
And the end. You know, we made it all the way to the end before we got either of our ends, Chad.
Yeah. You know, that...
And frankly, both of them were actually pretty good.
Honestly, I feel like we did a very good job with this book.
We did. We really kind of just wove our way through to one of the most epic adventures, I think. Well, that's interesting. Are those guys wearing shark heads?
Shh! You can't know.
Well, okay. Well, you're flipping through. Chad's flipping back through the book and peeking.
I'm just looking at the pictures.
That's all I was doing, and you yelled at me. Just saying. So anyway, that's it.
Yeah, that's the pod. Like, I think...
Journey Under the Sea.
Under the Sea. Like, success. Like,
a major success.
We met the Atlanteans.
We did.
We became thought travelers. Yeah. We became time travelers,
yeah,
which is huge for us.
It's huge, man.
Huge for Cherrick.
I really think that this was our origin story.
I think it's very much an origin story for Cherrick.
Yeah, yeah.
And which makes sense since we're time travelers that even though this is Ep 11, that we've covered it now and not on Episode 1.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, who wants to hear all the stories in the right order? Chronicles of Narnia didn't do it. Star Wars didn't do it. Why should we have to?
Nope. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, hope you enjoyed our origin story, folks. We weren't even prepared for it.
We didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, it was a surprise for us.
Yeah, so that Journey Under the Sea, Episode 2.
But,
Choose Your Own Adventure, Book Number 2.
As you may have noticed during the pod, there were tons of decisions to make. So this would be a great book to pick up and maneuver through because there were so many different ways that we could have gone.
It does not say how many endings are in this book.
But there had to... Oh my gosh.
It can't be any less than 25.
I mean, there were a lot.
We made a choice every 2 pages.
Every 2 pages. And it didn't look like there were that many pages that didn't have either a choice or an ending.
Yeah, there were not.
So that's an epic book, folks. If you want to read one that you'll just kind of breeze right through and have lots of decisions to make, this is a great one to start with.
I agree.
Don't start with the Young Indie Chronicles. That's a bad plan.
But you should listen to that one because it's amazing.
It is a unique podcast and quite amusing, for me anyway. It was an enjoyable time.
Okay. Anything else before we go?
Peace, love, and plug it.
Please love and plug it. Like, seriously, you guys, I can't, I know we just say plug it, but please rate and review us on iTunes.
That'd mean a lot.
Stitcher, wherever, just wherever you listen to your podcast. It would help us out so much. We love you guys. We do this for you.
It's true.
And like 20% for us.
25%. Maybe 30 because we really enjoy doing it.
We do really enjoy doing it.
But the other 70%, honestly, like,
that's
we love people that listen to us babble and have fun together. So we hope that you had fun listening to this podcast. And if you enjoyed it and haven't checked out our earlier ones, we got lots of good episodes for you. And we'll keep plugging some more. So,
yeah, we'll keep plugging away. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned
for more adventures.
Yes, indeedy. Cherik will return. Yeah.
All right.
Epic.
Chad and Eric, we're out.
Signing off. See you later. Have a good one.
Bye, y'all.
Peace.